4 years ago today, the final day, the funeral, the day of the funeral, we'd put out plenty of information about this day via social media and things like that, because a lot of the people my brother knew, we didn't know or have contact details for. So we put a message out to people that knew Dean throughout the many different towns he lived in. If they would like to come, they can. We had complications with the police about this day because obviously it was still an ongoing investigation. So we had a lot of police presence at Dean's funeral, which is quite ironic really, because he would find it pretty funny that the police were there to send him off for a different reason other than a driving ban or something like that, you know. So it was pretty ironic that the police were there on Dean's final day. So I had something specific that I wanted to do on the day of my brother's funeral, and that was to walk him in. The funeral was at Seven Hills Crematorium. Really nice place. Fairly new. Driving to something so surreal as your big brother's funeral is something that I never contemplated on the feelings or the emotion wise that I would get from just the drive towards, because the last time I drove past that place was when I found out my brother had died. In the first video, if you remember, I was saying I was screaming so loud that I almost passed out. It was as I was driving past that place. I found myself, and that's all I was thinking about was the night I heard that my brother had been murdered by cowards that carry knives. So I'm driving to what I know is going to be a very emotional, heartbreaking send-off. I'm in the car with a couple of my brother's friends that he'd known from the street, because they had no way of getting there. And it shouldn't have been something that I had to sort out, transport for these people, but they really wanted to go and they couldn't get there otherwise. So again, I had to push away everything that I was feeling to be able to maintain the ability to my brother to have this send-off, this dream send-off that he would never have believed for 1 minute there would have been as many people there as what I knew would be there. I pull into the place, the funeral place, and immediately there was police cars visible in the and motorbikes, police motorbikes in the car park of the crematorium. I could see a lot of family in that lot already at the door waiting for me to turn up to be able to direct everyone where it needed to be, where it needed, everyone needed to go. And of course they were waiting patiently for my brother to arrive, like it's some 21st birthday or like just a big occasion, you know. You walk through the door and surprise, happy birthday. Everyone there waiting for me to get there to be able to tell everybody what they need to do, where they need to be. I know I had a lot on that day dealing with how I was feeling with losing my only brother. Was really, really hard. And seeing my mum and my sisters by the door waiting was even harder. And I got out of the car. The police automatically wanted to speak to me straight away because they had to tell me information that they think that there might be people who killed my brother. They might turn up to the funeral because at this point, some of them hadn't been captured yet. That was mind-blowing because not only am I sending off my brother, trying to keep my family in a position where they don't fall down and die themselves through heart attack, stroke or anything like that, because my mum and my stepdad, they're old, you know what I mean? And this is very, very traumatic, but it was hard. And then to look and see if I can find faces I recognised, see if my brother's killer was at his own funeral, trying to show innocence or trying to act like he wasn't the one that done it, made everything 10 times worse. Because I'm trying to mourn, I'm trying to grieve, I'm trying to stay strong, and I'm trying to look for the killer, the person that killed my brother at his funeral. I'm staring at the copper, and I have talks with myself in my head all the time. I'm always battling something. And this copper, he's telling me, "You all right, Paul, how you doing?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm good." "Are you fucking stupid? Of course I'm not good, dickhead. Why you ask me that?" But I know he's not. What can you say? Like I said, I know he's not saying like, "Are you all right, mate? How you doing? Like, you good?" He knows I'm not good. But in my head, I'm like, "Fuck off, you prick. Like, fuck off, mate. Ask me a stupid question. Do you know what I mean? Of course I'm not alright. You know I'm not alright. I'm here to bury my brother." But I know deep down he meant well. Battling all of that whilst being fed the information from the police officer on what could be here had me on my toes. Like, I was on my toes. I was angry. Because if that person was there, he was not coming out of that crematorium at all. Because I know that there's no way in this world that not one person would have let the person that took that good man away from us would have let him out or them out. There is not enough police there that day or any day that could have stopped any chain of events that happened if that person had turned up to the funeral that day. Fact. So whilst I'm dealing with his emotions, I bury it all down. I tell the officer, I said, "Look, let me go over to my mum, make sure she's all right." I turn around and my mum's there staring at me. She's this with her hands, like I can see it from afar. I can see she's not right, but it's understandable she's not right. Everyone's standing around her, looking at her like, "Are you all right? Are you all right?" And I get it, like I understand it, people. I do, and I thank you very much for the kind messages and the strength that you give to her that day. I really do. I walk over to my mum. Everyone's standing around her. everyone clears out of the way so I can walk through the middle. Like, I don't know. I might have an angry face on. I don't know what face I had on, but I know that made people step aside whilst I walked through the middle of them all. No ignorance from me whatsoever. I didn't mean anything by it, but I was just so twisted at what the police just told me. Of course I've got my game face on. Of course I was angry. I'm probably staring at one of the people that killed my brother. And no one else knew. Nobody else knew that there could have been the killer there. Except me and the police. Imagine that feeling. So I'm checking everyone's all right. I'm skulking. I'm like, I'm looking. And I'm eyeballing like, I ain't seen you before. Who are you? I didn't say it in my head. I'm like, could be you. It could be you. You don't understand that feeling of not knowing, but knowing, you know? Like, I'm staring at people that want to come and say goodbye to my brother, like, because they loved him. And I'm looking at them like, is it you? Is it you that fucking took my brother from me? But it wasn't. It wasn't them people that come and to see my brother off. They loved him. Every one of them people loved him. And it was just a hard moment. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm rounding up all of the men, the boys and the men. And we're going to walk my brother in. He said, what time is your brother turning up here? Like, he's just in a taxi or a limo or something, ready to fucking just turn up to his grand day's party. I said, he's over the road, waiting for me. And they said, Paul, that's a motorway. So I couldn't give a fuck, mate. Like, it was like, it weren't a motorway. It was like a road that built up to the motorway. So it was quite a longish road. And across the road is a little place called Leventon. And there's a little dugout there where sometimes ambulances sit. And I wanted to walk my brother in, just men, walk him down to all of the women. Because for me, I felt like I needed to do that. Now, just over 300 people turned up to my brother's funeral. That's how many people he had in his life that loved him. Over 300 people. That is mad, considering that on his day-to-day life, he barely bumped into five of them. Can you imagine the power of what 300 people that love you could do to a single person within their life? If everyone took 5 minutes just to say, how you doing? Don't forget I love you. Yeah, stay tight. Imagine that power of freedom. That power of knowing that you are loved by that many people. Wow. I don't even think he would have believed the amount of people that turned up, that cried, that cared. So the police said that we weren't allowed to walk across the road. It was too dangerous. I didn't believe it was dangerous, otherwise I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have put 210 people in harm's way to become a problem on Dean's day. I looked the copper in the eye And I said to him, and I believe he knew that I was being serious, because I looked at him and I said, there is nothing that's going to stop me from walking my brother from there to his final place. And if you try and stop me, see what happens. There was a bit of silence between me and the copper. And then there was another copper that, oh man, he used to arrest me all the time when I was a child. Like, I used to get arrested by him all the time. And he turned around and says, Paul, don't worry, we've got this under control. We'll sort this, don't worry. I said, look, mate, the walk is like 3 minutes maximum. I said, like, put your cars out there and just get them all to slow. I'm sure they'll understand it once they see this amazing horse and cart. He said, Paul, take your people over. We'll make sure it's all right. I looked at the copper with massive respect. I just nodded at him. He knew what I meant. I rounded up all of the men and the young children that were boys, and we took a walk over to the Leverton turnoff. As we turned up, my brother was already there waiting. Which is strange, because it's always me bloody waiting for him. They say over the years that you're a pain in the arse, you'll always be late, even for your own funeral. And that's what was going through my head when I could see him. I got my brother a horse and cart. I've never seen anything so perfect in all my life. There it was. Horses shiny as hell. Cart glass gleaming. And there he is. There's his coffin, laid perfectly in between, in the middle of this two panes of glass, and laid out perfect flowers. I've got Dean's sons. I've got hold of their hands, tiny little hands. Trying to explain to him in a happy way. Look, Rocky, that's your daddy. And he's looking at the horses, excited that there's horses there, and he's looking at this shiny carriage with a box with pictures all over it of him and all of the family all over. And he's trying to get it in his head. His five-year-old son is trying to get it in his head, like, where's my dad? And you want to say he's in the box, but you can't. I said to the horse and carriage guy, can I have a minute just to go and just speak to him? Yeah. Like it was fucking normal. Like it was normal to go and speak to a carriage or a box. Like, imagine that. I went over. I wanted to touch the glass, but it was so shiny. It was so perfect. I didn't want to mark any stains on it, because I knew what it was like if he got dirt on his trainers or his clothes. He used to be, oh man, get cloths and try and scrub it off. He was real clean like that, you know. So I didn't want to put no blemishes on it. I pick his son up. I put him in my arms. I say something in my head that I wanted to say to him that I couldn't say out loud because his son was listening and I didn't want to mess his head up even more than what it already was. Is, I'm sorry, bruv. I'm sorry I wasn't there that day. And then I say, you ready? You ready, mate? Are you ready to walk your dad in? He said, yeah. How are we doing that? I said, all these people, we're going to lead the way. We're going to walk your dad down, show him the way. And all these people are going to follow us. And your dad's going to be right behind him. Turn around, I nod at the people that walk in front of, I can't think of what their name is now, but they walk in front of the horse and cart to guide it where it needs to go. I take a good look at everyone there and just still can't believe how many people come to say their farewells. We start the walk and we go in, and as we go in, we start walking, and automatically everyone knew what it was. It was time. There was me, my brother's sons, and then all of our friends and family behind us start the walk. Police sirens, quietly, you know, the lights flashing, are blocked off the road. People very politely stopped. You could see people doing this and bowing their heads, allowing us to have that final walk. I wanted to wave and say thank you to the people that allowed that to happen that day, but his sons were holding my hand so tight I couldn't let go. So I put my head down to the floor and I just walk. As we enter the crematorium, every single one of us wearing red t-shirts. I believe it was his favourite colour. We all had red t-shirts on. I can see my mum. It's still quite far away, and I can see my mum. And we walk the path that you have to go to be able to get to the front door of this the final place, like the front door of where we'll be having the service. As we're walking through the door and we're coming off the motorway, I turn around to see if everyone is okay and see if my brother made it through the gates. Like you would do if someone was crossing the road that you loved, you'd keep an eye and make sure they crossed it all right. It's surreal, really surreal. As I turn around, everyone's faces are like real emotional, you know, they're walking down, and it's just an ocean of red t-shirts. And it was really nice to see people pulling together at this final point. I turned back round and Rocky wanted to be picked up. That's my brother's youngest son. I picked him up and I put him on my shoulders and we walk in. But as we're walking down, we're getting closer and closer to all of the women, which I know that he would have loved to have walked into a room full of women just in a different scenario and like not family and probably all naked, to be fair. That would have been his highlight, but I'm not sure you'd want to see my family naked. God. I look up and my mum is standing right in my view, right in front of me, and she is crying. Crying. I take another turn around and I take a look to see if I can see my brother's killer amongst the crowd, imitating someone that genuinely cared. Because there was faces there that I'd never seen before. But then why would I have seen them before? They were my brother's friends, they weren't mine. The hardest part about all this is trying to be able to set away my feelings, but get ready to attack if I had the slightest inkling that it would have been there. I would have needed to be ready. But I couldn't see. All I could see was just red t-shirts bouncing up and down as they're walking. All at different... It was like an ocean, like they were all just, how they were walking, they're all walking their own step, and it's just so mesmerizing that I couldn't focus on the faces to figure out who was what. So I turned back round, all the families crying, I can hear them now, we're that close, we can start hearing them. As we pull in, all of the men part as the horse and cart comes through the middle of us all, to it where it stops just in front of the doors. The people at the doors, the people that are running the place, they know that I'm dealing with everything. So they come over to me and they say, we need you to be able to let people know, rather than them just rushing in and stealing seats where they shouldn't, that you have to direct everyone in. Fuck, I didn't finger that. I didn't think there was going to be a massive rush. I would have had someone there to say, like, you know, are you mum, are you brother, are you sister? Do you know? Like, I didn't think of that. So now, I'm now an usher, as well as a grieving brother. And whilst they're undoing the doors, and my mum is crying, I'm trying to be okay for her and be like, come on, stay strong. I give her a hug. And I'm like, come on, mum. Get yourself in there. Go and get your seat. So I had to get all immediate family in first. So whilst I'm there, sorting out immediate family to go in, everyone has surrounded my brother's horse and cart, so they can't actually move to adjust any flowers or anything like that. So I'm getting friends and family to go in at the same time. I'm trying to separate the people from the horse and cart so the bearers can do their thing to be able to get my brother out and on stage where he belonged, like... Not belong on a in a coffin on stage, he just belonged on stage. So I'm moving everybody out of the way. Please, can everyone move out of the way out of the coffin, please? Like, we need to be able to get him out. Man, people were so respectful, like they all moved out of the way. they was just really good. I put my hand on my brother's coffin and I say to him, I got you, bruv. I got you. As I turn around, there was one of my brother's friends there. And he must have seen the pain that I was in. And he just hugged me. He hugged me so tight because I felt like he knew how I was feeling. Love for that, man. You know who you are. Love for that. After the hug, there were so many people that we all couldn't fit in the one hall. I was the last one in there, so all the chairs were gone. There was nowhere left for me to sit. Nobody saved me a space. I tried to look to see where people was. I couldn't see anyone that I knew that I could sit with. I couldn't see nobody. My mum's row was completely taken up. And I was like, standing there trying to figure out, where the fuck can I sit? Like, so my nephews, my so-called cousin, and my brother's sons were all ready to walk my brother in. I got my brother's two sons at the front with me. I'm holding their hands as we walk in. My nephews lift up my brother onto their shoulders with his son and our cousin. They nod at me, ready to start the walk in. Stay strong, Paul. Stay strong. Because if you break, the others will break too.